it's been a very interesting few years, and we've seen what happens when people don't have a voice and don't stand up and try and rebel against these systems. I really do think that the acts that have happened across these last few years in the name of trying to save lives for COVID have been genuinely, genuinely criminal. And I don't think they would have tested this kind of system or tested this kind of censorship and repression to just stop it and go back to normal. I think it was a test of a system, and they intend on coming in harder than ever before with some new story and some new excuse later on down the line. And it gets to a point where you finally have to stand up and realize that you cannot run from what is going to come to you. You cannot escape it. You cannot hide. You cannot deny it. You get to a point where you understand you need to find people who are like-minded and stand up. And the best way you can stand up at this current point in time is just to educate others and just to highlight the injustices which are being purported by these systems. My banning was absolutely and utterly unjust. I never broke any terms of service. They know that. The whole world knows that now. And the public sentiment is on my side. And the more people talk about this and the more people discuss this and tell others and educate others, the harder it's going to be for them to keep this curtain, this iron curtain of theirs, over the truth, because that's all they truly want to do. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Everyone knows this saying, and it's completely and utterly true. And we're now in a situation where they have absolute power. But I do believe that we're moving to a transitional period, a transitional place. And you've been a massive leader in that force. And even now, as much as they say you're banned, anybody who types your name into a lot of these matrix-led platforms can still find videos of you. So they can't completely and utterly shut you up, because people want to listen to what you have to say. People want to hear you. And it's for that reason that they fear you, because they try and take men like us, delete us, and replace us with these talking heads. But humans have an instinct, and that instinct allows us to feel affinity with somebody. They can hear your voice or mine and know they want to hear what we have to say, because they know we have character and we're integral and we have morals. These talking heads don't have any of that. So when they put them there to read from the hymn sheet, it simply doesn't resonate with the youth of today. And that's how I managed to become the most Googled man on the planet, by just telling men the truth about the experience they're going through and the life they're going to live. It's a really interesting period of human time. And I've really been appreciative also of your support and the support of the other mainstream characters who stood up and said, listen, this has gone on long enough.
Tomorrow's news today.
Well, I'm known as the most controversial man in America, probably the world, except now somebody's giving me a really good run for my money. And he's a good friend of mine. He's a good friend of Paul Watson. We've hung out. He's been on the show many times. He's hosted the show. He's Andrew Tate, the most searched individual in the last 6 months on the internet every single day. And he is just on fire with the young people, with a really good, strong, pro-human message that completely threatens the power structure, because they want us to be weak. They want us to be victims. And Andrew Tate is the opposite. But what really freaks people out is that their daughters are listening to Andrew Tate. I was having dinner a few days ago with another good friend of mine that's a well-known podcaster, and he brought up Andrew Tate, and he said, yeah, it's really crazy. My daughters are big fans, and those are high school daughters. So Andrew Tate has absolutely, massively, and had a gigantic effect, and the power structure is insanely scared of him. Now, if he was a bad guy and had this much influence and they didn't control him, they'd be coming after him. But he's a good guy with incredible pull, and that scares them to their very core. And that's why this hour-long interview, uncensored, is so critical. Andrew Tate being able to speak for himself, because now he's become one of the most banned men in the world. There's only a few other people out there. Donald Trump is one of them. I'd say in the top three most banned people in the world, it's Andrew Tate, Alex Jones, and Donald Trump. That's why this interview is so incredibly important. We're in a club. It's a pretty elite club, and it's because we scare the establishment. Andrew Tate, great to have you here, my friend.
Absolutely glad to be here, and that's a pretty good club to be part of. So I'm almost happy for the membership.
Where to start? The ban, what you're going through, what's unfolding, what's coming next. We're going to get into so much here today.
Yeah, it was the Matrix attacked me. I knew they always would. They attacked in a very clever manner. I received a strike on YouTube, which prevents you from posting for 7 days. After I received the strike, Meta banned me, which is Instagram and Facebook. They banned me. I filmed a YouTube video to reply to the ban while I still had my YouTube account because they're pretending they're fair and that it all doesn't happen in sync. They allowed my YouTube account to survive for 4 more days and then they banned my YouTube account. So the strike was given to me on purpose to make sure that I couldn't post my reply video directly after the first ban and for them to pretend that there was some kind of degree of separation between the large matrix attacks. I've been banned on basically every single platform from Airbnb to Uber through to social media platforms, payment processors, absolutely everything. And you're completely right. I teach people and inspire people to think for themselves. And that makes you the enemy of the establishment because you are not allowed to think. You're only allowed to comply.
Let's walk through that because before we started this interview today, you said the most important point is once they silence you, then they can tell whatever lies about you. You're not just put in the phantom zone. Now they can misrepresent who you are.
Absolutely. And that's the number one intention, right? Because when these large companies decide to ban somebody, they also monitor in real time public perception, social media comments and posts, and how people feel about their decision. So to make sure they don't look tyrannical, after they ban you, they used a media machine to lie about you and paint a narrative that you're the worst person in the world to try and convince the populace that your ban was actually a good thing so they can get away with their actions unscathed. The lies are a very, very important part of their plan. They're always pre-orchestrated and they come in hard and fast and heavy across every single mainstream media outlet in real time. As soon as you've been banned, you can no longer defend yourself. You are defenseless.
And what you just said is so incredibly critical, and that's why they're scared of you. When they began their purge of InfoWars in August of 2018, Tim Cook later bragged that he met that Sunday night with the heads of the big six tech companies. That's how important the censorship is.
We think that what the user wants is someone that does review these apps, someone that does review the podcast. Someone that on like Apple News, where a human is selecting the top stories.
But at what point were you like, okay, that's it, Alex Jones has to go?
I don't really get into a singular kind of event, but I think there's enough there that reasonable people could agree that if you're going to curate, that should be all.
And it wasn't just about Alex Jones, it was about setting this precedent. And how they first decided to have YouTube shut me down. First was the strike, so we couldn't respond. It's all very strategic. This is admitted, by the way. Cook's given interviews to Vice and you name it.
In terms of power, I've never felt like I had any power.
Then Facebook, Instagram, all of the major sites, over 60 of them, even LinkedIn, then banned me 2 days after the YouTube strike, and it was all very, very strategic. And this is a battle plan. And they now admit it's a battle plan, which they later used on Donald Trump as well. And now they're using it against millions of not just Americans, but people all over the world. And we see the videos in Europe, in the UK, where the man criticizes transgenderism and puts up a transgender flag with a swastika on it, and they come and arrest the veteran at his home. So whatever you see being done to Andrew Tate and Alex Jones and Donald Trump today will end up being done to you. This is a blueprint where they pick out the alpha males that they see on the vanguard because they're really coming after everybody else.
Absolutely. That's the first thing they want to do. You're right. They destroy the people who can inspire resistance amongst the populace, and they need to control the narrative. These people are who I call, I often use the popular movie as an easy way to characterize and explain my mindset. I call them the Matrix, and they are the Matrix because they purport a false version of reality for people to subscribe to so that they can be drained of their resource and use. And they literally paint a false reality. And the reason they're able to do that is because everyone who counters that reality, they attempt to delete in real time. They just did it with COVID. They convinced people that something was happening that literally wasn't even happening in real time. And the reason they managed to get away with it for so long is because every time you spoke up and told the truth and talked about what you see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears, you're silenced. They need to control the world and control how people think. And we are a threat to that.
And that's how the gaslighting works. Let's expand on that for people that don't know what it's like to be unpersoned. And this is a forte, or this is a first look at what's going to happen under the global social credit score they've set up. They came after your banking, your credit cards, your processing. Describe for people, not as a victim, as you've said, but as a warrior at the front of the fight, how the enemy's going to attack so people behind us in the fight know what's coming.
Yeah, first thing they want to do is they want to hurt your money. So they destroy your processing, your banking, anything that involves money. You're going to start being put under review or deleted and disabled in real time. Shortly after, you're right, the social media platforms ban you. First one bans you. The other ones usually wait a day or two, but they put in a strike so you cannot reply and use the platform. They put in a day or two gap to try and pretend that they're not all doing it in succinct. And after that, it comes in hard and fast, from Airbnb to Uber to Discord to Gmail accounts to absolutely anything and everything. They just start annihilating in real time, wiping them off the face of the planet. And you have no recourse. While they are doing this, they ensure that their media machine is telling it the biggest lies and gaslighting the public into believing you're genuinely dangerous and deserve what's happening to you. This is a big part of it. They need the populace to believe that you deserve this treatment. So they elaborate, they exaggerate, they choose small portions of things you said, they take things out of context, and they attack you absolutely so that people at home sit and go, wow, this bad person should be deleted for my safety.
Yeah. The amount of people I see who are like, free speech, let's not ban Tate, or a lot of the stuff I say is, I don't like Tate, but you know, I believe in not censoring people in free speech. It's all men.
He's saying vile stuff that I'm a woman. Yes. You're not.
Right.
It doesn't affect you.
There is a whole other problem about unilaterally banning somebody, the way these platforms work together to ban somebody overnight, completely remove them.
The way that I see it, Andrew Tate, because I'm very aware of
you might
all
know
his
more
comments.
Than yeah, because I don't know
maybe them. Right yeah. maybe possibly
yeah
I see him as a hate group.
He's saying stuff like that women are the property of their boyfriend or husband, whatever it is.
Ultimately, what he advocates is for violence against women.
Yes. If you take into context also that he's done sex trafficking, does it change your opinion?
Well, listen, 100% if he's doing sex trafficking,
they convince the people of the world that it is only the only way they can be safe is if people like us don't exist, when nothing could be further from the truth.
And what you said again is beyond critical. The globalists even brag about this. They have the head of YouTube get up and say, yeah, my son likes Alex Jones, so I worked with other big tech to ban him. I've decided you don't get to see him. And Tim Cook said, we curated, like a museum, you know, Alex Jones, put him in the Phantom Zone. It's all coordinated, and that's what makes it illegal. Yeah, they can argue that we're utilities, but we're still allowed to ban people. We're private companies. But once they coordinate with the federal government and with Interpol and with European nations and the communist Chinese and others, now it's government colluding to censor people, and that is illegal in every Western nation. That's why lawsuits have been filed against Twitter, Facebook, and others, because even Zuckerberg went on Joe Rogan 2 weeks ago and admitted. He said, yeah, the FBI said, don't put out the Hunter Biden story. It's disinfo, which we all knew it was true. It was true then. And so they censored billions of users from being able to see that info because the FBI said so. That's the government in direct, the deep state, in direct collusion with big tech. If that isn't authoritarianism, if that isn't tyranny, nothing is.
Well, that's how tyranny works. One of the key components to tyranny is you have to remove all opposing sides of an argument. And that's basically the easiest way to tyranny. This is what people don't understand. If you have two sides of an argument, regardless, even the people who disagree with me, I think they should have a platform and should be allowed to speak so that we can find a way to make sure that all of our discourse and all of our narratives are tested and battleground tested, and we have a chance to explain ourselves. When you remove the other side and live in an echo chamber, nobody needs to have any kind of logical explanation or logical grounding for their thoughts. And that's how it's very, very easy and quick to grind into complete and utter tyranny. Look what happened in the last 3 years. Nobody was allowed to stand up and say these lockdown measures are draconian. These lockdown measures are out of control and they're genuinely damaging people more than the virus itself, because nobody was allowed to say that. Look what we spiraled into. We spiraled into a situation where, like you said, the government broke their own law, broke the own laws and of the Constitution to protect us against basically everything, and destroyed people's lives in real time. I don't believe that the lockdown measures have been legal in a single country they were implemented. How could they be?
Well, that's right. And they say they're science, but everything they said was a lie. I use a Hunter Biden laptop. The COVID censorship of ivermectin that they knew worked, they confirmed major studies works, the censorship of other treatments, the ventilators, the not letting family in to see their parents in nursing homes, but sending sick people in. Everything they did, claiming that the vaccine's 100% effective. Now they admit it doesn't work. 9 out of 10 dying have been triple jabbed. I mean, they really have proven that they're in a war against science. And science is questioning. Science is challenging. That's what freedom is. Real science is freedom. And as you said, they need a echo chamber where they can just brainwash people, or a matrix, a false reality bubble they put people in. We were talking before we went on air today. You want to talk about the Great Awakening. You were telling me they're losing.
Yeah, I think that there's massive pressure behind the dam, that people are starting to wake up and understand that these people are tyrannical. And the only thing that's missing, the only crack that has been missing for a long time, is the fact that once you've been depersoned, a lot of people are genuinely fearful of it because they don't feel like they can maintain mainstream consciousness. You've done very, very well. I'm now going to do very, very well myself. And as we continue to lead the world to show that even without these platforms, you can stay relevant, respected, and still reach your audience, then that's going to put the crack in the dam. And I believe the pressure is going to do the rest, and it's going to finally explode and blow open. People are tired of being told what they're allowed to hear and what they're allowed to think on all sides of the spectrum. I like to believe that people are tired of this. And it doesn't matter what kind of monopoly you hold. Every single monopoly in history believed they had ultimate power and would never, ever, ever lose control. The Roman Empire did. The Mongol Empire did. This tech empire does. And sooner or later, when you're too tyrannical and you piss off populations, there is revolution. The world up until this point was based on freedom. How they advertised you to be a good slave was they would give you some freedom. And when I say slave, I use that word particularly because a slave used to work his ass off and he would get food and a house in return. And 99% of people out here, my friend, are working their asses off. They can buy food and a house. That's it. Most people are still slaves. They would tell you, you're going to be a slave, but you'll be free at least. You know, you can do what you want. You can think what you want. You can say what you want. You can walk around outside. Look at the trees. You're a slave, but you're free. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And what happened when they did this? Something changed. The internet came. People started to talk. People started to think. People started to realize how money's made. People started to realize it's all a scam. Cryptocurrency was invented. Now you have Bitcoin, which is surpassing the global reserve currency. We don't need banks anymore. We don't need the IMF anymore. People are starting to talk. People have elected Trump, a man who's not bought and controlled by the establishment. People are starting to actually get their minds right. So the people in charge are like, oh, fuck. We're losing control. We no longer control the money. We no longer control who's in charge of each country. Oh, fuck, we've got to put an end to this. We can no longer base our societies on freedom. We must base our societies on safety. You can't think for yourself. We can't put these videos on YouTube because it's fake news and it's dangerous. You can't go outside because the virus, and it's dangerous. You can't travel in between countries without that injection because it's dangerous. This is no longer about freedom, my friends. This is about your safety. They're going to take all your freedom away, and instead they're going to give you a nice big helping of safety. And you're going to take it and go, oh, at least I'm safe. You were safer before. You were safer before because now the government can arrest you for saying something they don't like. Because now you're spreading fake news. You were safer when you could have an opinion.
Well, that's right. I'm not a world champion kickboxer like you, but I certainly learned growing up in Dallas where it was rough and tumble that a lot of people start a fight with you and hit you, and then they would stand back and wait for you to fall over. But if you didn't fall over, well, then you were on top of them and they were losing. And what the globalists do is they attack us, they demonize us, and they expect us to buy into the narrative that, oh, it's over for us. But if you just keep fighting, the human instinct sees that and has a real desire, a fiery lust to be part of that. And so by us not giving up, even if we're destroyed like the Alamo, we inspire others for the overall victory of our species. And I think that's where we're going to win in the end. The globalists think we're like them, where if they were attacked or they were bullied or they were demonized, they would go away because they're followers. They joined the globalists, this hierarchical system. They don't understand that we don't give up when we're attacked. We just attack harder. How would you quantify that phenomenon?
No, you're completely and utterly right. We are men of old, and leaders of old used to charge first into battle. We don't send other people's sons and kids to go die in war and hide in a nice cushy office ourselves. No, men of old, we got on a horse and we charged in front of our armies, and we're a different caliber of man. And that's why we have independent thoughts in the first place. You're right. We never subscribed. We never sold our souls. We developed independent thoughts that allowed us to think for ourselves and come to our own conclusions, despite the fact that there are large groups of people that told us we are completely and utterly wrong. And we have the kind of personality and persuasion and also charisma to convince others and inspire others to charge at the enemy. And that's exactly what they're scared of.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell a story here, and I'm not going to name names because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I had problems when I was a teenager, too. I'm not perfect. But I have somebody very close to me that got into being a victim. They were still great, but felt sorry for themselves and just was caught up in the system and had girlfriends that were liberal and just that whole sick society. And I couldn't wake them up with my pep talks. I couldn't get them to make the leap into being a real man when they had such incredible potential. And literally listening to you for the last 8 months or so, because I'm really busy, stuff's going on. I watch your clips. I love you. But I wasn't really paying attention. And someone very close to me said, Andrew Tate, he's amazing. He's waking me up. He's doing all this. You know, he's number one. He's incredible. I'm like, yeah, I know Andrew. He's wonderful. And then I just saw this total change the last 8 months in this person very close to me, thanks to you. And it's invaluable. And it's a total difference. It's like night and day. How do people get out of the mind control they're under? Why are you so popular with the young people? And how do adults watching this send their young people to you? Because they go, oh, it's brash. Oh, it's this. Well, that's what humanity is. And sure, you may be what they call extreme because we're so domesticated, but really, 1,000 years ago, you'd just be normal. You'd be a normal alpha male. You'd be a normal leader. So how do we take the success you've had that scares the hell out of them in getting young girls and boys, teenagers, college people to really break the spell? Because you've been doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what they're scared of, because there's a huge swath of the population that aligns with my messaging. And the reason they fear it is because I'm speaking to the youth of the world and telling them that the way they've been feeling, when they've been feeling like they've been disaffected and forgotten about, is not their fault. They try and delete me and replace me with some puppet like Logan Paul or James Charles or one of these mouthpieces. And nobody feels affinity to these people because they know they're not brave. They know that they sold their souls, and they know that they're just parrots which are repeating what they've been told to say. I am inspiring the youth by actually standing up and talking about the issues which are true to them. And they see that my reality is a reality they want to emulate. And when you're a young man and you see a man whose life you want, you're very likely to listen to his thoughts and opinions on how he should get there. That's all that I'm doing. And I'm leading by example. And that's what they're truly, truly fearful of. They don't want me to make people to feel better. We're talking about your friend. I made your friend feel better. That's what they want. They don't want that. They don't want people to feel better. They don't want anyone to feel good. They don't want anyone to think. They don't want anyone to have their own independent thoughts. They don't want any of that. What they want is mindless, soulless slaves who are so depressed they can't think about anything outside of themselves, and they're busy popping medication and sitting around in a room in between shifts at their slave job. That's all they want. And they find me as a threat. They think I'm a threat to the system purely because I encourage young men to get strong, train hard, find some brothers who they can rely on, and think for themselves.
Well, that's it. And you said it, aspire to something. Young people aren't aspiring to anything. The left teaches them to be lazy, to be victims, to be depressed, and that's cool. No, when you're fighting in a business or for your family or for your life or getting up to go to your friend's house when they need your help, and then them helping you, that's the real brotherhood, the sisterhood, the human community of being a clan. And we're one human species that needs those goals. And so people need to aspire and say, I want to be successful, because it's not even getting to the success that matters. It's aspiring to it is what you're supposed to do, because you've got to have a purpose-driven life and a mission. And these young people need a mission, and you're giving them a mission.
Absolutely. And what's actually interesting is it's extremely hypocritical, because when the shit hits the fan, when they need soldiers to go die in a war, when they need firemen to charge into a burning building, when they need police officers to hopefully save children in a school shooting and not just stand outside, when they need real men to go do real things, then they call on the men like me and the men who think like me. Then they want the men who are brave, who are masculine, who have tenets of masculinity, who have honor, who have duty. Then they want us. But as soon as they don't want us to go risk our lives to protect them, they say we're not allowed opinion, we're not allowed to think, we're not allowed to talk, and we should be depersoned and deleted. They try and use us absolutely and utterly, because society needs men like us, and I'm the one who's been speaking up for them. They also pretend they give a shit about men's mental health. You told me one example about how I helped your friend. I have hundreds of thousands of emails for young men I've helped, and older men who I've helped with their mindset and helped with their approach towards life. I have genuinely changed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people for the better. They talk about giving a shit about men and giving a shit about men's mental health while deleting me, the person who helps them the most, and saying they're going to replace me with some algorithm matrix agent bot like Logan Paul, who nobody respects and doesn't want to listen to. It's bullshit. If they gave a shit about men's mental health, they'd leave me up there to inspire the youth. They don't care. All they care about is narrative control.
And we're going to dive into Andrew Tate. I don't feel like platforming this guy. I don't feel like giving him the blessing of being my dance partner in the ring, especially after the social media platforms have made it very clear how they feel about this guy, right? And I would even put a little call out here to like fellow creators and even JJ, like, you want to re-platform this guy? Anyone? You want to have him on your shows? You want to give him another opportunity to speak and spread his agenda? Because whether you believe it or not, the shit that Andrew Tate is saying will have a ripple effect much more dangerous than you can imagine, because his narrative is truly hateful. His rhetoric has extreme negative energy in it, and it will affect impressionable young people in a way that will not show until years from now, and it is dangerous.
On April 23rd, 1910, the iconic American president who busted up the Rockefeller Trust in America gave his incredibly historic speech, Citizen in a Republic. It was the man in the arena speech that sent shockwaves throughout the world. And I live by this creed. I'm about to read to you just a short excerpt of the 30 plus minute speech he gave to over 5 million attendees in Paris, France. But we have released a coin that has Teddy Roosevelt on the front and a gladiator on the back, discusses a citizen of the Republic and the man in the arena. And InfoWars and everything we do is about the man and the woman in the arena fighting tyranny. It's the fourth coin in the series we've offered at patriotcollectibles.com or 1776coin.com. There are only 10,000 of this coin available. And ladies and gentlemen, this coin is funding our operations as men and women in the arena. Let me read to you part of his famous speech. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man has stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be amongst the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. This is the man in the arena coin, only 10,000 in the world. Get yours now at 1776coin.com and take the info war to the next level. Are you gonna get in the ring with Logan Paul?
Let's hope for his sake it never happens, because he doesn't want to get hurt that badly. I just find it very interesting what happened to me, and probably the same thing happened to you. During my banning, I saw in real time and learned which public figures, which talking heads, which are allowed to have a platform by the Matrix, actually have any kind of degree of character, and which ones will instantly bend, break, and swap and change their opinion on you overnight because somebody above them told them they have to. You get to learn in real time who actually sticks up for you and is true, and some people are, and which ones just instantly cave and comply. You'd be amazed how many people have absolutely no moral fiber.
Well, how would you quantify, because I know you have this, and I have it, like, when I know I'm right, I don't care if I'm being attacked. And when I'm in the fight, politically or physically or whatever it is, I'm in ecstasy. And I see these unhappy men that don't get taken a chance, standing up, being a man. It's what you're supposed to do, damn it. And so they're not even alive. They're in a coma. And they think like you're some weird dinosaur. Well, they should try to become that dinosaur because they become nothing but jellyfish. I mean, can you describe when you get in the ring, world champion, you know, kicked all these people's ass, beat all these other big champions, you've won like four times, at least I know of, against, you know, top people in real, you know, bare knuckle stuff. Yeah. What is the essence of that when you climb in the ring?
Yeah, and that's the essence of masculinity as a whole. I think it's always been about competition. I think it always has been. It's always been about respect, and respect comes from winning in different various forms of competition, whether it's money, financial, business, physical, etc. And there's so many men out there today that you're right. Nobody respects them. No, they are afraid of competition. They've been told by the Matrix they should be that way. They're unhappy with their lives. They're unhappy seeing others win. And then they become extremely hateful. And these are the exact people who pray for our downfall. You could line up a line of people And I can tell just by looking at them which ones like me and support me and which ones hate me. You can tell by their stature. You can tell by the way they talk. You can tell by their confidence. You can tell by so many different things. The successful people in the world are huge fans of mine. The successful people in the world want their children to listen to me. The successful people in the world realize I'm a force for good. The people who want to sit and pretend that I am somehow dangerous are people who are sad, miserable, and lonely. Hate never comes from above. It always comes from below. And these people are just desperate to try and find a way to attack an alpha male. And the only way they can do that is via these platforms run by betas. They can't attack us in the real world.
Perfectly said. The globalists are a bunch of wimps, a bunch of nerds who hate humanity, hate women, hate men, and see themselves really as not even human. And they think if they can defeat human strength, the family, men, women, children, and mount our head on the wall, that somehow now they're really the alpha. Instead of becoming an alpha and competing and getting in the ring, they want to isolate us and use technology to control us so they can play God. It's pathetic.
I completely and utterly agree with you. This is the first time in human history where these type of people have had any kind of influence over people like us. Before this technology bullshit, when they saw people like us, they bowed down and showed respect, or they ran away, or they complied, or they followed us, or they were inspired by us and became something better. One of a few things happened. Never in a period of human history did you have a bunch of betas, dorks, and geeks who had the ability to shut the alphas up, ever. And now they've got this little bit of control, and they think they're going to have it forever. And I completely and utterly disagree with that. I do not think God will allow the world to burn the way it would burn if these people retained control. I think something has to happen, and I do believe we're at the very, very beginning of a very large movement.
Well, that's right. And real alphas aren't evil. You got twisted people you can call alpha that are evil. But everywhere the left is in control is feces and needles and collapse and ugliness and pain and crime and destruction. Because at the end of the day, they're not leading. They're just annihilating leadership and undermining. And they're even undermining their own stance. All these globalists are building armored redoubts and fortresses running from what they've done. They removed male leadership from the world. They set up a technocracy. Now things are collapsing. They feel like they're winning. They don't even understand chivalry. We didn't develop chivalry in the last few thousand years as we were wimps. We said, hey, let's just let men kill men and men compete. Let's not wipe everything out while we're doing it. Let's have some rules. And these guys have broken the rules.
Oh, completely and utterly. You absolutely and utterly nailed it. And they don't even have enough self-accountability or enough honor or enough responsibility to look in the mirror and realize that they fucked up. They're just going to run away, and they're going to hire some alpha male armed guards, and they're going to hire some big strong men to build them a bunker. Once again, more alpha males. They're going to exploit alpha males because they managed to get some money, and they're going to pay those guys, and they're going to sit there and hide like a bunch of fucking cowards.
And they don't know, because I know these people, I know you do, all of the top tier people are just can't wait to kill the globalists once it goes down. I mean, they don't understand, like, their worst enemy sitting right next to them. They are so stupid.
And that's the thing. I think in real time now, we're starting to live in a period of history after the lockdown, after Corona. Now we have the problems going on in Europe with Russia and Ukraine. We're living in a scenario now where politicians in most Western countries are ignoring the needs of their own people to try and support this idealistic view or this idealistic war somewhere else. And there's large swaths of the population. Recently in Czech Republic was huge protests. France was huge protests. Italy was protests. Even in Germany, they're starting to protest. People are starting to understand their own politicians don't care about them. They're selling out their own people, selling out their own businesses, selling out their own energy sector, anything it takes to try and support some idealistic war somewhere else because they've been told to by a higher power. And people are starting to wake up saying, this doesn't make sense. Nobody's actually representing us. And public consciousness is what they have to fear. The more people learn, the more people finally wake up, then they're going to have a serious, serious problem.
Andrew, take the Great Reset, which is quantifying what you're saying. Top Fortune 500, artificially cut off the economy, pump credit out to people to control them, bring out a social credit score, universal basic income to dictate human behavior, while they're dissolving the very infrastructure that protects them and gives them all this science and medicine and wealth. And then they're pretending like they're going to manage this and get rid of most of us, and then they're going to survive with what's left. That is the stupidest, dumbest thing if you've studied history. It's destined to fail. It's already failing.
Oh, absolutely. But these people are completely arrogant and deeply narcissistic. They've been born into families or societies or systems where they're told for some reason they're somehow God. And they believe that they know everything, and they've never lived in the real world. They never interacted with real people, and they're just spoiled children who've grown up inside of some silver spoon, coddled room, padded room bullshit. And they're fucking fantasists. And that's what happens when you reach a certain level of arrogance. You become a full-on fantasist like they are. It's a stupid idea, and it's absolutely destined to fail. What's unfortunate about it is it can't just fail in isolation. For it to fail, millions of people are going to suffer and die. And these people are not even going to have any kind of – they're not even going to have any empathy. They're not even going to feel bad for what they did because they've been born without it because it's been bred out of them. It's absolutely and utterly disgusting.
And what you said, this is the essence of what we face. It's not just a bunch of nerds and a bunch of control freaks that want to get rid of competition and alpha males and show up the system and what they call the final revolution, ending the normal, healthy human cycle. It is the aristocratic royalty and inbred 20, 30 generations where, you know, 300 years ago, if a king didn't lead an army, he would get assassinated. They haven't led armies right. in over 100 years. They lay around and they're all just being pampered by sycophants, and they're totally delusional with a technocracy deploying something, attacking the very system that they're living off of. They're jumping the shark, and it's going to fail.
Oh, absolutely and utterly. You've completely nailed it. That's exactly what they're doing, and they have this supreme arrogance where they believe it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay for me because I have money. And to a degree, it saved them up until this point, and money can save you to a point, but it gets to, in certain places like Sri Lanka, for example, when there's a large enough uprising of the populace and people have finally had enough, the money didn't save them over there. And it gets to a certain point where people have finally had enough. Listen, we're all human and we want to have safe families and safe neighborhoods. We want to have consensual, beautiful relationships and marriages. We want to feel happy and feel good. And unfortunately, under some of these laws they're making and some of the societies they're trying to create, it is literally impossible for a full-grown man to have a happy, consensual relationship, feel safe and secure in his home, and enjoy raising his children. That's becoming impossible. And as soon as you make that impossible for people, there's going to be massive backlash.
Amazing. You know, in the 20 minutes we've got left, you're a great interview. I want to try to shut up and just let you roll here for viewers and listeners. So this is something I do with guests I really want to hear from. For the next 5 minutes, Andrew Tate, I'm going to give you the floor. Then I've got a bunch of questions I want to ask, but you've got the floor here. Millions and millions are going to watch this, obviously. When the two most censored men in the world get together on air, give us your treatise.
Yeah, I have a lot I can talk about and a lot I can say. But I think that it's very, very important that we understand if we do not hang together, we will hang one by one. And it's important for people to sit here and think, well, he got banned. Maybe he was too extreme. This guy got banned. Maybe he said this one bad thing once. He got banned. Maybe the media has a point. They don't have a point. If they had a genuine point and they weren't afraid of open debate and discourse, then nobody would be getting banned at all. And they're pushing things far too close to the barrier. And they're doing that on purpose because they fear different ideas. I do believe that God has a plan for the world, and his plan is not to allow these people to completely and utterly burn it to the ground. I do believe that we're in a period of a redemption arc for humanity, and things have gotten dark now, but a ball always hits the bottom before it bounces to the top. But it's very important the people who are awake and the people who understand not only try and educate as many people as possible, but also support each other and also support the leaders like yourself and like myself who are out here taking on the risk and the responsibility of being completely deplatformed, depersoned, having serious threats on our safety and security to try and tell the truth. It's been a very interesting few years, and we've seen what happens when people don't have a voice and don't stand up and try and rebel against these systems. I really do think that the acts that have happened across these last few years in the name of trying to save lives for COVID have been genuinely, genuinely criminal. And I don't think they would have tested this kind of system or tested this kind of censorship and repression to just stop it and go back to normal. I think it was a test of a system, and they intend on coming in harder than ever before with some new story and some new excuse later on down the line. And it gets to a point where you finally have to stand up and realize that you cannot run from what is going to come to you. You cannot escape it. You cannot hide. You cannot deny it. You get to a point where you understand you need to find people who are like-minded and stand up. And the best way you can stand up at this current point in time is just to educate others and just to highlight the injustices which are being purported by these systems. My banning was absolutely and utterly unjust. I never broke any terms of service. They know that. The whole world knows that now. And the public sentiment is on my side. And the more people talk about this and the more people discuss this and tell others and educate others, the harder it's going to be for them to keep this curtain, this iron curtain of theirs, over the truth, because that's all they truly want to do. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Everyone knows this saying, and it's completely and utterly true. And we're now in a situation where they have absolute power. But I do believe that we're moving to a transitional period, a transitional place. And you've been a massive leader in that force. And even now, as much as they say you're banned, anybody who types your name into a lot of these matrix-led platforms can still find videos of you. So they can't completely and utterly shut you up because people want to listen to what you have to say. People want to hear you. And it's for that reason that they fear you, because they try and take men like us, delete us, and replace us with these talking heads. But humans have an instinct, and that instinct allows us to feel affinity with somebody. They can hear your voice or mine and know they want to hear what we have to say because they know we have character and we're integral and we have morals. These talking heads don't have any of that. So when they put them there to read from the hymn sheet, it simply doesn't resonate with the youth of today. And that's how I managed to become the most Googled man on the planet, by just telling men the truth about the experience they're going through and the life they're going to live. It's a really interesting period of human time. And I've really been appreciative also of your support and the support of the other mainstream characters who stood up and said, listen, this has gone on long enough.
Well, it certainly has. The people are hungry for freedom. Let's talk about how the enemy is going to strike back, because they're definitely in trouble. The whole world's turning against them. But I'm really concerned about false flags ahead of the midterms. We already see them cutting the power off all over the world. They said we're going to go big with environmentalism and power outages in the undercover video from Project Veritas about 8 months ago. We now see that happening. How do you see these control freaks striking back?
Well, this is what's scary, is because power and energy is the absolute base for any country on the planet. If you don't have energy or power, you have nothing else. You don't have security, you don't have safety, you don't have food production, you don't have absolutely anything. So they're going down to the very, very core and very, very crux of humanity now. Once power outages start becoming a mainstream thing, it's not just about not being able to turn on your television. It's about crime. It's about people dying on the street. It's about emergency services. It's about food production. It's about so many more important things. And it's truly evil. But when you get insulated like these people are at the level they're at, completely insulated from the consequences of their own actions, they're prepared to sacrifice a few pawns in their own mind to try and win the chess game. And that's what they see us as. They see us as disposable and expendable. And yes, we're living in 2022. We're living in a society and a world which is very, very technologically advanced. There is no reason for anywhere to be running out of power. We've had electricity for long enough. And when that starts happening, to believe it's some kind of accident or coincidence is asinine. It is impossible in the current world we live in, with all the current resource and all the smart people on the planet, and the fact that we all know we need electricity, and the fact that we had all the electricity we needed in the 80s, to now be here 40 or 50 years later and say we can't generate electricity. That is clown world fantasy.
And the globalists said they were going to cut the power off. They cut off thousands of coal power plants here alone while China builds 3 a week. They have shut us down. This is warfare against the West, because the Western ideal cannot operate when the globalists have all these other countries under slavery. People will aspire to Western freedom, and so it has to be gotten rid of. Can you speak to that?
Oh, yeah, completely and utterly. And they have to change society and change the basis on which society is run. Society was run on in the West on the premise of freedom. You can come to the West, and if you comply with the law, we will provide you with freedom. They've realized that, like you said, that doesn't give them enough control. And that's what tyrants are obsessed with. So they want to replace freedom with safety, because it's the only thing that people will accept their freedom being taken away for. We're going to take all your freedom away, but don't worry, you're going to be safe. You'll be safe from the common cold. You'll be safe from whatever else. So they're trying to destroy our freedoms and replace it with safety. Now, to replace freedom with safety, you need to convince people that they're in danger. How do you do that? Well, you either create a media spin and convince everyone the common cold is somehow deadly, or what you can do is you can cause blackouts, cause mass crime rates to increase, cause mass famine, and put people in danger for real. Because when they're in real danger and they're really scared, then they'll really sign up for safety. If there's only going to be one town in the whole state that has electricity, you're going to agree with whatever piece of paper they make you sign, whatever rules you have to agree to, you're going to agree to get in. And that's what they're trying to do.
And they admit that. Club of Rome, Bilderberg Group, and its spokesperson, Klaus Schwab, WEF, says, we're going to get rid of the old system. That's the Great Reset, to build back better. And you're going to have a universal basic income with programmed tokens that tell you where and how and when you can spend that money. I mean, that is beyond the mark of the beast.
Oh, absolutely. Because if anybody understands the world, understands every single system on the planet is absolutely and utterly corrupt. The judicial system's corrupt. The law system's corrupt. The medical systems are now corrupted. Everything's corrupt. So any system that involves humanity at any level is going to have a degree of corruption. And if you think they're going to give you these tokens and it's going to be somehow fair and non-corrupt, you are an idealist at best and an idiot at worst, probably a combination of the two. I often say to people, if you go to a poker game and there's no referee and there's $5,000 at stake, do you think people would cheat without any kind of referee? And people say, well, yeah, probably. So if you understand that people will cheat in a poker game or a basketball game for menial amounts of money without any kind of judge or referee, how are you going to sit and then believe that the most powerful people on the planet to control nations and control entire populaces are not going to cheat and bend the rules? Of course they are. This is human nature. That's absolutely what they're going to do. They're not going to risk losing. So they're going to cheat and lie and be corrupt their entire way. That's the only thing they're interested in, is absolute and utter power.
Let's talk about something that doesn't get enough attention. Yes, we know we're deplatformed. Yes, we know we're demonized because we're pro-human leaders. Yes, we know the power structure is scared. But I see this all over Instagram, all over Twitter, on the street. Every time I go out, people go, man, I used to be a really big listener. Are you still on air? Only a minority of our hardcore, really smart people go to InfoWars.com or go to your website or understand that they're the ones that have got to get the clips and get them out on their own platforms or on the establishment's platform. So I know people watching today are like, well, that's common sense. You know, I tell everybody, about Tate's website or Alex Jones's website, but this is a war. The propaganda wouldn't be necessary if the situation was hopeless. If the situation was dire and it couldn't be turned around and they'd already won, then they wouldn't need to censor us. No, freedom is incredibly popular, and it's our destiny. And just because evil always tries to take full control and create monopolies doesn't mean it's going to win. In fact, it always destroys itself. So we need to get pre-positioned, as you said, on the upward arc. I believe we're going to get into better times soon. We have to get pre-positioned and realize, even the sociopaths out there that keep going along with tyranny, they'd get way further ahead going against the system. And I think that's going to be the biggest part of the tipping point we've already reached. Not just good people saying no, but even people that are just mercenaries saying, this is a destructive system, this isn't empowering me. So on those two points, I know you've got several websites, and we put them on screen, but it's critical that everyone say, we're all Andrew Tate, we're all Alex Jones, we are all going to promote what is being attacked by the enemy, because we know whatever they're attacking is the antidote to the poison. So I'm going to ask all the viewers and listeners, take this interview and share it. Go to Andrew's website, go to my site, share these clips, take clips out. Show it to your employee, show it to your boss, show it to your church, show it to everybody, because this is what the bad guys don't want you to know. That means it's got to be magnified and amplified. So again, the best site for people to visit.
Yeah, absolutely. You're completely right, though. The enemy wants you to be lethargic, lazy, and perhaps even distracted with their bullshit entertainment. They don't want you to get out there and do the real groundwork of educating other people and waking them up. And you're right. This is a war, and that's the most important thing that people can do. I can be reached at CobraTate.com. You can go there and sign up to my email list. It's completely and utterly free, where I send out a daily email on world events. I recommend everybody get to CobraTake.com first. I have some other products on there. I have the War Room, which is my private network for people who think exactly like I do, 5,000 people all around the world, which is the War Room. It can be accessed through the website. But CobraTake.com for now, the mailing list is free, and I look forward to speaking people on there, and I keep the whole world updated with my life.
All right, we got about 6-7 minutes left, and you got to jump on a plane, and I've got to do my Thursday show. We're going to be airing this on the Monday show and posting it to band.video. And so that's the coordinates of victory, folks. Don't wait for orders from headquarters. Go to the sound of the guns, as George Washington said back during a Revolutionary War. We are going to win this thing together. Your brother, there was a clip I played a few weeks ago on the show, right when you first got banned, where he read a Bible verse on air and literally said, this is full mobilization. Everybody's got to go to Rumble. You're also done a deal with Rumble. That's beautiful. That's all exploding.
When I say switch to Rumble, let me hit you with Matthew 7:24-7. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat against the house and it fell, and a great fall it was. Start today, move to Rumble, move your social medias to Gitter. Let's get on these apps that are run by real men who want to hear discourse, who want to hear different people's opinions, different people's points of view. And this is the future of the internet.
What's beautiful about genetics, but also then will and leadership, your dad being world champion chess player and so much more, is the left acts like physical brawn means you're stupid. But in my experience, I found a lot of times the most physically prowess people also are the greatest mental prowess. But it's just beautiful to know that it's not just we got Andrew Tate, but then we've got your brother who is, I think, just as articulate and amazing as him. And so it's almost like a double head hydra. And can you speak to trying to boost and magnify your brother, who's already a big top fighter and so much more? Let's talk about your brother.
Yeah, absolutely. My brother's an amazing man. He's the best brother anyone could ever reach for. And we have an extremely close relationship. That's something else that the Matrix tries to do. It tries to separate brothers from one another, and it tries to separate men from one another. There's nothing wrong with men having an affinity with each other and working together. The way of man has always been to be in war, to be in armies, to be in gangs, to be in clans. This is how men have always been. This is how we operate the best. This is how we keep each other in check. That's where we bring out our best powers and prowesses. And I often say to men out there, that's what the war room's for, to find other men on your wavelength, healthy competition, to test each other, to challenge each other, and to bring out the best of one another. And they want you isolated as a man, because when you're isolated, you don't have so much power. The lone wolf, the idea of Rambo being all by himself and being lone wolf, is a bit of a fallacy. You need a team, you need a network, you need people who are on your side, people who support you, people who understand you and where you're trying to go. That's what the war room's doing in a digital form. But my brother and I, in the real world, yeah, we're the closest we could ever be. And he's an amazing guy, and I know he'd love to come on the show and talk to you as well.
I'd love to get him on, so just name the time, or I need to get in touch with him. I know he gave me his number, but I've never gotten in contact with him. I should. But what you said is key here, and we're reaching this point where it's like Fight Club. I haven't talked to you about this before I went on air, but I would imagine you're getting way more support, way more high fives from people everywhere now that it's 100% clear that you're the enemy of the establishment. So there's a paradox. As long as people support us and boost us, we'll just become more effective for humanity. So people shouldn't buy into the lies that just because the enemy attacks you, you know, that means you're losing. When in truth, as long as we keep fighting, we're going to win.
Absolutely. They've martyred us, and they proved us completely and utterly right. They proved us right. Now no one can come along and say we're incorrect anymore. They can maybe be able to come along and say, well, we're not on platforms. That's fine, but we're certainly and utterly correct. And in the long run, God rewards those who live with the true heart and speak the truth.
All right. A few other big topics I want to hit with you. What is Europe going to do as they try to bring in new lockdowns, as they say, flatten the curve by cutting your power off, don't take showers anymore? How does that tie into blaming Russia? I'm not a Russophile. I'm not blindly supporting Putin. I know what he is, but the West admits they overthrew the government 8 years ago in Ukraine, put weapons in. I know special forces that have been there training people to kill Russians in the ongoing war over the last 8 years. I know Green Berets. I know Navy SEALs that have been there helping kill Russians, and they don't even like what's happening, but they've been over there under orders for 8 years killing Russians to get Putin to finally come in. How do you see this ending? How is the war really going? How does all this unfold? Because they put huge sanctions on Russia for 6-7 months, and then Russia finally put sanctions back, and they're claiming the power is being cut off because of the Russians. The Germans turned off all their nuclear power plants. The Germans cut down the gas pipelines. Northern Europe's got more gas than the U.S. They won't pump it. I mean, it's the left cutting the energy off, not Vladimir Putin. It's the left starting the fight with Russia. So that's a gestalt, but your take on all that.
No, you're completely and utterly right. And it's actually going to be a rude awakening for these idealists to be snapped into the real world. All these people who have Ukraine flags on their Instagram bio are now not going to be able to afford their own energy bills. And you're going to learn that realism and the real world, if you ignore it for long enough, has a habit of coming back and slapping you in the face. All of the politicians in Europe have seemed to forget about their own constituents, to just be obsessed with somehow fighting an unwinnable war in Ukraine, some other country. And the populations are starting to have enough of it. We don't want you to fight an unwinnable war on some faraway land. We want hot water in our house. That's why we elected you. And how long are you going to ignore our needs and continue to talk about some other war in some other place? People are starting to wake up.
The head of the German economy, their head economy minister, said yesterday, get used to not having craft small businesses. You're not going to be open anymore because of energy. Only big businesses are. Same thing they did with COVID. It is a direct open war. Then one of the top German ministers said, we don't care what the voters want. We're going to war with Russia. So just in closing, where do you see that hubris going, and how do you see this Ukraine situation that's so dangerous ending? Or where is the way out of this?
The way out, which the West do not want to accept, is that the war is unwinnable and they need to sit with Putin and agree to some terms and to stop being tyrannical and stop trying to put weapon systems on the border and stop trying to expand NATO. The way out is for the West to finally accept that they've been wrong and to just to do a deal with Putin and allow a certain degree of Ukraine to fall. The way out is going to be hard for them to accept because they've been preaching nothing but the opposite for so long. But as the populations run out of hot water, as the populations can't put gas in their cars, there's going to be mass civil unrest. And any politician who even cared about his own people wouldn't be concerned about the war in Ukraine. He'd be concerned about all the repercussions of it. These people are bought and sold, and they are dancing to some other tune coming from somewhere else, from high, high above, and they have been told to annihilate their own economies and destroy their own constituents to try and take part in a war which is completely and utterly unwinnable. And as more and more people realize that, there's going to be mass civil unrest in Europe in the coming months.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And there already is massive unrest. And if the left thinks, as Schwab said, Klaus Schwab, they're going to parlay that into people accepting the Great Reset. No, you go to the rallies in the U.S., Canada, Brazil, Germany, France. Everybody's protesting Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, and the New World Order. I got to say this in closing, Andrew Tate. It is a real pleasure to be in the same league as you. I admire you. Your strength is my strength. And I appreciate what you've done. And it just feels good to be part of the great renaissance, the great awakening, not the great reset. And so as Patrick Henry said, you know, those of you that want to serve tyranny, crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And as Teddy Roosevelt said, it is the man in the arena, whether you win or you lose. That's the animating contest. That's the exhilaration. And we are the men in the arena. Andrew Tate, thanks for being strong. Look forward to having you on again very, very soon. It's a lot of amazing things that are going to be unfolding. And again, everybody should visit your website that's on screen right now and support what you're doing, because you, my friend, are among the few that are at the real tip of the spear. And together, we're going to help lead humanity out of this tyranny back to the real human order and to the stars and beyond. Andrew Tate, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.